Question of the day. I've been thinking about this one all day long. I admit my answer is going to be stolen from a social media post I saw today, but it prompted a question of the day that I think we need to answer and our audience deserves to think about. If you could remake any movie in the movie universe into a Muppet movie, what movie would you make and why? And maybe even who it might star, how they might do it just a little bit. We don't want to spend our whole time talking about this since it's just our intro, but I thought that would be a fun discussion question. Candace.
So this would require a bit of time travel to the past, to be perfectly honest. Hear me out. I think they should redo the movie Clue as a Muppet movie. But I still think that we would need Tim Curry as the butler.
Yes. Obviously. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Can you about see Miss Piggy? Flames! Flames!
Flames from the side of my head!
I hated him so much. That I would be it. Amazing.
And she would just karate chop you that.
Right. See, Tim Curry would need to make an appearance, but I think Kermit could also be an alternate for the butler.
No. No, he would have to be Colonel Mustard.
Why?
It just fits.
Okay. Okay.
It just fits.
I'll go with you. I will go with you. Okay. Lacey, Lariah, what movie would you pick for a Muppet movie remake?
I have mine.
Go for it.
Immediately, I thought of the movie Holes.
Okay. Replacing a Disney movie with a Muppet movie.
Yes. Yes. And I just kind of thought of Miss Piggy both playing the warden and kissing Kate Barlow.
Okay. Yes.
And then Kermit as Mr. Sir. I would love that. I just played it in my head and I was cracking up.
Fun fact, Candace and I first watched that movie, last year?
Mm-hmm.
The first time we saw that movie was just like 3 or 4 months ago.
And I can't believe that. I can't believe it.
But I liked it better than Candace did. Yeah. It was so damn weird in all the best ways.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I believe my exact words when we finished watching that. What the hell did we just watch?
Yes. Yes. Okay, Lacey.
I'm going to go with Pride and Prejudice.
Okay.
Obviously, Miss Piggy as Lizzie Bennet, Kermit as Mr. Darcy. Mr. Wickham, I'm looking at the characters now. I'm not quite sure who I would... Maybe Animal? No, he's just kind of goofy. Maybe Fozzie Bear or Gonzo, but... I choose Pride and Prejudice. I think that'd be hilarious.
Yes, that would be amazing. And the Muppets have a good track record of taking serious movies and making them kind of funny and fun to watch.
Yeah.
They're good at that in their remakes. Okay, so again, I'm full credit to the person off of social media that I stole this from, but it's a fantastic idea. The movie I would have the Muppets remake is The Princess Bride.
Yes.
So, Cary Elwes plays Grandpa to Robin.
Okay.
Kermit's nephew. Kermit plays Wesley.
Yes.
Piggy plays Buttercup.
Yes.
You have Sweetums as the giant.
Okay.
you have Pepe the Prawn as the Inigo Montoya.
Okay.
Because I can just picture him with his little sword going, ha, 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 ha. All of those kind of things. And then Sam Eagle as Vizzini.
Inconceivable.
Inconceivable. And then can't you hear Pepe the Prawn saying, you keep saying that word. I don't think it means what you think it means, okay? Or my name's Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die, okay? And then my twist on that would be the guy who plays the villain would have to be a human, a la Michael Caine in Christmas Carol. Your bad guy is a human interacting in the Muppet world. I don't know who mm-hmm. you would cast in that role, but he would have to be.
So you're talking about the Six-Fingered Man, correct?
No, the Six-Fingered Man is Prince Humperdinck is who I'm saying would need to be human.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Six-Fingered Man probably could be too, but that also could be what's the evil guy, the evil Muppet that hangs out with a bear? Can't think of his name. I'm going to lose my Muppet card. But he's got he's blue, he's got the long nose.
Sam Eagle?
No, Sam Eagle.
Gonzo?
No, Gonzo would be okay. Let's forget about who's going to play the Six-Fingered Man. That could be Gonzo as well, because I think that might be hilarious. But what role would Gonzo play? Oh, the other one that would be a good one that I'm stealing again directly from the social media post. The Swedish Chef is the guy who does the marriage. Instead of marriage, it's pork board. Pork, 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 pork. Are you holding up Sam Eagle?
Yes,
no, that's Sam. Not who I'm talking about. No. That's Sam Eagle, but that's not who I'm talking about.
He's blue.
Yeah, he's blue.
There's Crazy Harry, Uncle Deadly.
Uncle Deadly's who I'm thinking of.
Okay. Yes.
Who would be Miracle Max?
Ooh.
Bunce and Honeydew.
Yes, it could be both of them. They could be two Miracle Maxes. Or just instead of the of husband them. And, well, Beaker and Bunce and Honeydew. They come as a package.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
So maybe
and instead of husband and wife, it could be Beaker just and
an assistant. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dr. Bunce and Honeydew and his assistant. Mm-hmm. Yes. See, there are so many things they could do with that. Disney, hit us up. We'll give you all the ideas.
Do we need to talk about who we're going to have, though, as Prince Humperdinck?
We can.
Like the human.
Yeah. Who would be a good modern-day actor to play Prince Humperdinck with Muppets?
Is he evil? I've never
he's the
seen
bad his guy.
Evil, but what?
What?
No. Laraya.
I've seen parts of it, but
We may, instead of recording a rest of this episode, we may just have you all listen along as we make Laraya watch Princess Bride.
Yeah.
I'm shocked. I'm shooketh.
I'm a bit appalled, actually.
Yeah, I know. It's on my need to watch list.
Yeah, so he is the bad guy. He's okay. He tries to kill Wesley and is plotting to murder Princess Buttercup.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Ideally, again, it would take a bit of time travel because he would need to be a bit younger and alive, but Alan Rickman.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, that would be good. Who's somebody?
Also, what about Johnny Depp?
Johnny Depp would be good, I think. He might look a little too straggly for the part. He's getting
he
older.
He cleans
he's
up
getting
well.
Worse. Okay. I'll trust you on that.
The first person that came to mind for me, even though I don't know who you're talking about, is Christopher Walken.
That'd
be silly.
Picture like Lord Farquaad. That's kind of like the but like
not short.
Yeah, not short and not ugly. I don't think he's like ugly.
No, he's moderately attractive.
Yeah.
Lacey, I came up with Johnny Depp.
That could work. Johnny Depp could work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because he can't be like overly attractive.
Yeah, no. Yeah, Johnny Depp could work though.
And it's got to be a big name star like that, I think.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
I have it.
Okay.
And this would make his dreams come true as well. Brett Goldstein.
There it is. Ted Lasso.
Roy Kent.
Roy Kent.
From Ted Lasso. Well, you haven't seen Ted Lasso.
Brett Goldstein. Yeah. But he's a stand-up comedian and like he loves the Muppets. Loves the Muppets.
Yep, there it is. That's who we're going to go with.
Okay.
I think he would look the part too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. There's our introductory question. That was almost a full episode in itself. That was fun. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Scott.
I'm Candace.
I'm Lacey.
And I'm Lariah.
Grab a drink and come hang with us at the Hangar Bar.
Welcome back to the Hangar Bar, everyone. We are in week 2 of season 4. This is exciting. We are on Zoom again today because we're kind of spread out all over instead of weather this time. Some of us are out of state, some of us are at home, all those things, but we still wanted to record as a group, so we decided to do Zoom again this time. So again, sound quality, I think it's going to be fine, but just so you know, in case it sounds a little different than normal, we just want you to know why. So excited to be here with you all again today. And today we're going to talk upcoming Disney movies. Are we excited about the movies that are coming? Do we think the movies that are coming are dumb? Just all things movies. But before we get started, remember to go out and like us on all of our social medias. Follow our YouTube page. That's brand new. We have all of our past episodes have released on YouTube. You can follow us there. We're still planning and thinking through how we're going to use that platform for maybe some more engagement too, but be one of the first to know by going out and giving us a follow there and or subscribe. I don't know the hip lingo for being an influencer. Is it like, subscribe, follow?
Tap that like button, hit that subscribe button.
There you go. There it is. But yeah, do that. And then remember that this entire season, we probably won't announce this every time, but this entire season is brought to you by our great friends over at Minx Cruise and Travel. They will be happy to add magic to your miles and do all of that kind of thing. So reach out to them if you have any travel needs. We are super excited to have them as sponsors for this season. Thank you to them for sure. They are good at what they do. Okay, any other checklist items we need to mark off before we get started?
I don't think so.
Okay, so let's start this conversation with a recently released movie, and I'm interested in everybody's take on this. So the last animated movie that released was in honor of the 100th anniversary, which is Disney Wish. We will admit to you all that as of today, none of us have seen it. Talk to me about why we haven't prioritized Disney Wish. We normally get super excited about Disney animation and all those things, but we didn't run out to the theater to watch that one. Help me understand a little bit why.
I think it's gotten such negative reviews and feedback. It's not exciting to me. I think it was kind of, it almost seemed like an afterthought or a flash in the pan sort of idea. Like, well, we probably should put out something for our 100th anniversary, but we don't really know what we want it to be. So mm-hmm. Let's just make up this conglomeration of a mess of a movie and put it out without any sort of, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, without any hype.
Yeah.
And see what happens. And it was almost like they were counting on the hype surrounding the 100-year anniversary, which is rightfully deserved. I'm not going to take that away from Disney, because for a company to last for 100 years, they're obviously doing something right. But I think, as a lot of things that they've been doing lately, this just didn't feel like it was completely thought out before they put the plan into motion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we talk about this a lot too, but just the amount of movies that they push out every year now, there's just no, there's not a whole lot of excitement or anticipation for the next new movie. So like, I still wanted to see it, and you know, it also released around the holidays, which that is already a busy time for many people. So I think all of that collectively just, it was kind of put on the back burner for us.
Yeah. And everything that I read about it, and I probably fell a little bit prey to the negative Nellies out there, but everything that I read about it, like right after it released, is, oh, it was just Disney trying to throw in all their characters from the last 100 years. And it wasn't, like Candace said, not super well thought out. And it was just like, hey, how can we put this stuff together in a way that's just going to make us a few bucks? And it didn't seem like it, even in reviews, raised to the level of even Disney animation from 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, see, I want to see it too.
I think I would have felt completely different about it had I known that a lot of the characters from the last 100 years were involved in it. Like, if they would have sold it with, this is a retrospective of all of our characters from over the past 100 years, I would have been at the theater. Because again, one of my big things, and I'll talk about it 100 times, is like the tradition of Disney and the history of Disney and knowing where we've come from with Disney, right, and celebrating all of that. And I think that's super important. But like the first time I saw a preview of it, I was kind of like, what is this about? I mean, the goat's really cute, but what is this? And I had no idea that it was about like all of the characters and this wishing star and all these other things. So like I said, I just feel it was really kind of disjointed. Mm-hmm. And I don't think probably their best work.
Yeah. Yeah. Not in any of the marketing material did they say all of your, or most of your favorite Disney characters in a brand new story with brand new music. They didn't really talk about it in that way that would sort of catch a broader audience. But the one thing I do know that it feels like maybe they're starting to go back to their old marketing techniques, because it was in the theater for however long. And you can actually, before they release it to Disney Plus, they are releasing DVDs and digital copies of it. So you can actually go out and buy the movie. So it's probably not going to stream until summertime. But you can go out and buy it, just like in the old days when it would release to the theater, then it would release on VHS, and then it would go into the vault. So it feels like maybe Disney's starting to try and get back to some of that old school production.
Interesting.
So let's talk about that for a minute though, because like, to be perfectly honest, how many people have DVD players anymore that aren't like Blu-ray players that also play DVDs? You know what I'm saying? Like, how many people actually have that technology in their home anymore?
Well, yeah. But a Blu-ray player, that's what I'm talking about. You have to buy the movie. Like, if you didn't see it in the theater and you're like, oh, I'm gonna wait until I'm just gonna watch it streaming, that's gonna be summer. But if you're like, oh, or if you loved it in the theater, you can buy a digital copy or a Blu-ray copy or whatever. I don't know if they're actually doing DVD, like old school DVD, but it's released on Blu-ray and digital. Or it will be soon. One of the two. I don't remember. I just thought it was interesting because it's been, what, 4 or 5 years since they offered something like that for purchase? Starting in 2020, things went theater straight into streaming almost at the same time.
Thank you, COVID.
Did you guys see that they're re-releasing some Disney movies that went straight to streaming services because of COVID.
Like taking them back to the theater?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't finish that sentence there. Yeah, they're going to the theater. Soul, which deserved a theater showing.
It did, yes.
Luca and Turning Red.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of amazing. And
we might have to spend some time at the theater because all of those three are really solid, really good movies.
Yeah. Agreed. And that's so interesting. Like, it's amazing what even just a couple years worth of history does to a person's perception. Because mm-hmm. we're sitting here talking about Wish not being their best work. And I'm sitting here thinking, oh, it's been 10 or 15 years since Disney Animation has done anything. And we just listed off three movies that came out of the Walt Disney Studios, whether it be Pixar or just full Walt Disney Animation, that I think are damn good movies.
Yeah.
Damn good animation.
I was just going to ask, those are all Pixar, correct?
Yes.
Was Soul Pixar?
Yes, but I can double check.
I just wanted to mention how it seems like Disney has had a lot more hype around their Pixar releases rather than their original releases. And I find that a little strange.
Mm-hmm. But. Yeah, it's almost like Pixar is becoming the animation wing.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not doing hand-drawn animation anymore at Walt Disney Animation. And all the best stories are coming out of the Pixar studios.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. Wish, is that Disney Animation?
That was Walt Disney Animation Studios.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And then Elementals released last year. And I feel like the hype around that, I don't know if it was just me because the story just sounded more interesting. And I didn't know Wish was coming out until like November. Just over the past few years, I've noticed that I knew about Turning Red and Luca. The hype was way more real than any other original Disney that has come out recently.
Yeah. Looking at the animation studios list, the last couple of years, you have Wish, which was November of last year. You had Strange World, which was the November of 22 list. And then Encanto was November of 21. And Raya and the Last Dragon was March 5th, 2021.
I feel like Encanto was the last original Disney that had that was super brought to life by the Disney company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just find that really strange, I guess.
Didn't Lin-Manuel Miranda compose the music for that?
He did, yes.
I think that has something to do with it personally. I mean, I love the movie. The movie is great, but I think that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he can't just not talk about himself.
Oh, tell us how you really feel.
I think I did.
Okay. And
don't get me wrong. He's very, very talented. I like a lot of the stuff that he's done. It's just he's falling into that whole overhyped situation for me.
Yeah.
And if you listen closely enough to his music, it all sounds like Hamilton.
Which all sounds like In the Heights.
Right.
He composed that too, right?
Yep.
He did.
Even Moana sounds like Hamilton.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever heard of those iceberg theories that are going around?
No.
No.
Expand. Well,
I don't know if I'm going to explain this correctly, but there's the bottom of the iceberg is underwater.
Yeah.
Well, you have things that build up towards the very top of what you see, but there's levels that are underneath of that it kind of goes deeper. We're kind of going on a Lin-Manuel Miranda iceberg right now where we're doing detective work on what's going on,
right?
look him up and I think you'll find a better description of it, but it just kind of seems silly.
I will have to research that.
So we're saying that there's more than just the surface level of Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Surprisingly, yes.
Hmm. And there's
like,
you think
something bad's gonna come out about him? Like, there's so much under the water that's like, how did he get so important?
So let's talk about that for a minute, because if that happens with everything that Disney has had him do, Moana, Encanto, all this other garbage, do you know how bad that's going to hurt them?
Mm-hmm.
Terrible. No, I don't know anything. It just seems funny how it kept leading to one more thing, and it all is like the same stuff. Yeah. And it just kept going back further and further. And I was like, whoa, there's a lot of layers.
Yeah. Okay. So, Candace, I just had a thought. So, Lin-Manuel Miranda right now in the Disney company has done a lot in the music and just kind of being the face of the music of Disney for a while. Uh-huh. You think he's being overhyped, overdone? Mm-hmm. Do you think if you were around for when the Sherman brothers were doing all the music for Disney, that you would have felt the same about that group of music, because they were always out in front and always being promoted as like the face of Walt Disney music?
But I don't know that they were. Like, I think they worked for the Disney company, and the Disney company got the credit. And the Sherman Brothers music does sound different from one song to the next. You can't like all tie it together. There are certain maybe phrases and whatnot that are close, but I think they were talented enough that they could vary their style to what Walt needed or what he asked for.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Could see fair. That. I just thought that was an interesting question.
Like if you take, for example, they wrote It's a Small World. Everybody knows how grating that song is, but it's iconic. But then you think about Walt Disney's favorite song, which was Feed the Birds from Mary Poppins, and how vastly different that is from It's a Small World. And yet the same composing team wrote both songs. But it wasn't Sherman Brothers music. It was Walt Disney music, like the Walt Disney Company music.
Yeah, so I'm just, Candace is many states away from me right now, so I get to press buttons over Zoom. Compare for me Dick Van Dyke to Lin-Manuel Miranda in terms of Disney-dom. Because from an acting perspective and a showing up in Disney things perspective, those two to me are very similar in terms of the number of movies they did, the influence they had over the company, that kind of thing.
It's an interesting question. I'm not really sure how to take it though. And it's not like a personal question. Not like I don't know how to emotionally handle that question. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying though, is that Dick Van Dyke is a Disney legend. Lin-Manuel Miranda is not yet, that I'm aware of.
He is not.
He probably will be, but I don't know. I don't know. It's a good question, because then you think about movies like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, which is not Disney. The Sherman Brothers wrote the music for that movie as well. Dick Van Dyke stars in that movie, but it's not Disney.
Yeah, and so that would be, I'll be interested to see if in 15 years, your thoughts around Lin-Manuel are different than they are today.
Not if he doesn't knock it off. I mean, think about this, because you know my feeling about Frozen and why I feel that way.
Yes.
That movie's been out for a long time. And because of what happened surrounding the opening of it and the whole Maelstrom debacle, I'm still feeling like that.
And you hold grudges. Like, and that's okay.
A little bit. But I think I can I can justify it and back it up. So
yes.
Do we think that the world we live in now, where we have like the world pretty much, like the internet at our fingertips 24/7 pretty much, and people who get famous over one thing, we're constantly seeing them. Do we think that maybe it's your algorithm? You see a video, you kind of like it, and then that's all you see. And then it starts to get annoying, you know? Because I think that, do we think that maybe that has some of the issue to where there's just so much in our face about a certain person that you kind of start maybe develop a hatred for them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Because, like, if you think about when Dick Van Dyke was heavy into the Disney universe, you maybe read about him in the newspapers occasionally, but you went and saw him as a phenomenal actor in movies. You saw him as a comedic actor on TV, but you didn't have at your fingertips everything about that person. You didn't have them showing up on 15 different late night TV shows to promote something. You didn't have the level of promotion that you see today of every time you log into a device, you get an ad about Hamilton, or you get an ad about Moana, or whatever his latest project is. You don't, with Dick Van Dyke, you didn't see as much of that. So maybe that's another spin towards, we have short attention spans and we're like, okay, move on. Like, I'm ready for what's next. I'm ready for what's new. I don't need to listen to the 17th version of In the Heights that you just put to different words.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's interesting. And if you were ever wondering if our podcast is scripted, you now know it's not, because we have yet to talk about what we said we were going to talk about at the onset. So we're talking about movies, but we have not mentioned a single upcoming movie yet, which is just phenomenal to me. I love our conversations. Okay, but let's get back into upcoming movies. So do we want to talk only about kind of the upcoming movies that are going to be what I think are interesting to us? Do we want to stick to animation? Where do we, or like big potential flicks? What, where do we want to go from here?
Let's do as much as we can, cover them all.
That's a lot. Okay. So let's just go down. Some of these we'll just say, we can say whether or not we want to, this will be like an advertisement for upcoming movies. In February, Searchlight
Pictures. Coming soon to a theater near you.
Coming soon.
That was good.
Yeah. At first I thought that was an ad on my phone.
So funny story. And the person who had me do this is a listener of our podcast. So, if she listens to this episode, thank you for thinking of me to do this, because it was a ton of fun. At work, there's this innovation day thing happening, and she reached out to me and asked me to record a voiceover in that movie theater, or that movie voiceover voice guy. So I got to spend an hour at work one day just recording different versions of Coming This Summer and just doing that whole thing. So now all of the company I work for is out there and can hear my voice as a voiceover, like movie trailer voiceover. It was a ton of fun.
That, yeah, but it's not so fair. Cool. It's not true unless you did the In a World thing.
I did, didn't I? I had you listen to it.
Yeah, but I don't remember. That was more than 10 minutes ago.
I think that was part of my script. It was In a World where innovation meets creativity. That's how it started, right? I'm trying to remember the script in my head now. Yeah. So In a World where innovation meets creativity. Yeah, it was a ton of fun. Okay. So the next movie being released is actually being released on Hulu, Disney Plus. It's completed and it's releasing on February 9th, a movie called Suncoast. I don't think they are. It was a Sundance Film Festival movie. They have not been hyping that one up, so we won't spend much time on that one. Phantom Four Films, The First Omen. Ladies, The First Omen is releasing on April 5th.
Yeah, I'm super stoked for that.
Just saw a trailer on that.
Candace, yeah. That's not one I really care about watching, so.
Really?
Let's
go back a little bit to that Suncoast one.
Okay.
So the synopsis of that one is a teen living with her strong-willed mother must take her brother to a specialized facility. She strikes up an unlikely friendship with an eccentric activist at protests surrounding a landmark medical case.
Interesting.
Okay.
The cast is pretty epic, really. We've got Nico Parker, Woody Harrelson, Laura Linney, just to name a few.
Sounds
it doesn't necessarily scream, you know, like feel good rom-com, this is going to make you happy type movie, but it may have some chops to it. I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds interesting. So that one releases on February 9th. April 5th is The First Omen. What I was saying before is I'm not a big horror movie fan. So, like, that's not the kind of movie I typically go for. Like, I like a psychological thriller every now and then, but, like, something that is just sets out to scare me for the sake of scaring me, I don't like.
So, like, The Omen as in Damien the Omen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're doing it again?
Like a prequel.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, serving as a prequel to The Omen, the film follows an American woman sent to work at a church in Rome who uncovers a sinister conspiracy to bring about the birth of an Antichrist.
Sounds amazing to me.
So why not just re-release Rosemary's Baby and call it a day?
Oh, I'm sure they will.
Mm-hmm. I like that idea.
Maybe once they're done making live-action remakes of all of the animated classics, they'll start turning around and making animated versions of all the live-action things that we love.
And no, but why is Disney doing horror films?
It's just part of their studios. It's through 20th Century Fox or 20th Century Studios. Oh, well,
that explains everything. Yeah.
But Disney bought Fox, so.
That explains everything. Never mind.
Okay, and then the next one is also a 20th Century Studios production. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming in May.
Pass.
Yay.
Do you like the Planet of the Apes?
I have not watched them, but my boyfriend is going to make me watch them so we can watch the new one. I'm kind of excited,
Yeah, I've never really been into the Planet of the Apes either, but maybe I'll have to start. Okay, and then we get to two movies that one movie I'm kind of excited about, one movie that I'm like, okay, whatever, it'll probably be super cute. Inside Out 2, which is the one that I think will be super cute, it releases on June 14th. How do we feel about a sequel to Inside Out?
I'm kind of excited.
I need to watch the first one to know.
Oh, you've never seen the first one?
No, I'm afraid it's going to make me cry.
What Disney movie doesn't make you cry?
Yeah. Fair statement. Frozen.
Crying tears of frustration.
It's a you cute took away movie.
Inside Out. I really like Inside Out. I think it's a good one. And I think the second one, because they're not using all of the same... they're not using the same
emotions.
Yeah. English is hard. Mm-hmm. That I think it'll be better as a sequel, because I think the premise is the little girl's a little bit older and is dealing with different emotions, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I think it kind of makes sense for, like, and maybe the kids who watched that for the first time, maybe some of them will kind of be the same age as the little girl now. And it'll kind of like, because when I was little, Harry Potter came out about the same age. I was the same age as he was in the movies. And I felt like I was growing with him. So maybe it'll kind of be like that sort of feeling for little kids who grew up watching Inside Out.
Okay, so here's the premise. So number one, Amy Poehler is one of the voices in Inside Out 2. I love Amy Poehler, so
yes,
I think that makes it good. Here's the premise. Inside Out 2 returns to the mind of newly minted teenager Riley, just as headquarters is undergoing a sudden demolition to make room for something entirely unexpected, new emotions. Joy, sadness, anger, fear, and disgust, who've long been running a successful operation by all accounts, aren't sure how to feel when anxiety shows up and it looks like she's not alone.
Ooh. Also, I think Amy Poehler is in the first one. I think she's Joy.
Joy, yeah.
Okay.
Joy. And Phyllis is sadness.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Candace, we'll put that on the watch list for you to watch before the second one releases, because I do think you'd like Inside Out. I think it's your kind of a movie.
Okay.
And it's not super sad.
Yeah. It's not terrible.
Mm-mm.
Also, Kelly Kapoor is disgust. So we got Parks and Rec and Office People.
Yes.
Perfect.
Okay. And then the next movie that I am so totally stoked about, and I'm not usually stoked about sequels or threequels, Deadpool 3 releases this summer in July.
What? Yes. I'm so excited now. I had no idea.
Yeah, both the first two Deadpool movies were fantastic movies, and mm-hmm. I'm usually not a big sequels person, but I think Ryan Reynolds is like my man crush. I think he is just fantastic in almost everything that he does, and his Deadpool is so perfect. I just can't wait for the third one. I think it's going to be amazing.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be so awesome.
I feel like they did him dirty in the Green Lantern, and then he came back as a brand new superhero Deadpool, and that was a good move, because he plays a great Deadpool.
Yes. Okay. Are we just going to go through 2024, or are we going to go into 2025 as well?
Let's just do 2024.
Okay. So we got three more to talk about. Two of those are, again, 20th Century Studios. The first one is Alien Romulus. Are we fans of the Alien movies?
I've never seen them.
They're old.
I just know at the Great Movie Ride, they used to have an Alien section in the Great Movie Ride. And, like, when I was on it, we got stopped right in that section, and something dripped on me. It was, like, alien goo, and it dripped on me. And that was disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm.
That was a ride feature, not getting stuck there, but the dripping stuff was a feature of the ride. Like, it was supposed to be dripping.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah. I mean, it was a cool part of that whole attraction. Was just amazing. RIP. But yeah, it was cool.
Yeah. So I don't know that I'll watch that one. It's been a long time since I saw any of the Alien movies. Then the next one after that, releasing in November, is The Amateur. It's an espionage thriller film directed by James Hawes. The premise is, after Charles Heller, a CIA cryptographer, loses his wife in a London terrorist attack, he realizes bosses will not act due to conflicting internal priorities. He begins to blackmail the agency into training him and letting him go after them himself.
Hmm.
Might be an interesting action adventure type of flick of, I'm going to go exact revenge, but I'm just some schmo working a desk job that has to learn how to do all this stuff. I don't think I'm seeing much excitement from anybody else. And here's the most anticipated release from the Disney Studios in all of 2024, releasing on December 20th, Mufasa, The Lion King.
Live action.
The prequel about the rise of one of the greatest kings of the Pride Lands goes back to the African savannah, where Rafiki tells Kiara, daughter of Simba and Nala, the story of her grandfather, while Timon and Pumbaa add color commentary. It's a American musical drama film. It is intended to be the live action styled, photorealistic, computer generated imagery prequel to the similarly created 2019 version and the original 1994 film The Lion King.
No thanks.
This makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Let him rest in peace.
Right?
Why? Like, is Michael Eisner working for Disney again in a capacity we don't know about?
I don't get your point.
He was Mr. Bring up stupid sequels and throw them direct to DVD or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, I think that one's going to release to theaters, though.
Dear Lord.
Okay, here's my hot take. I think that these backstories need to be stopped. I don't care if there's, okay, yeah, because I don't care if there's a mystery. Like, okay, this isn't a Disney movie, but Wonka, I don't care to see that. I don't care. I don't, and I'm sorry if I'm gonna offend some people, but the Johnny Depp, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was the worst, okay?
Yes.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory with Gene Wilder is the one and only. I don't need to know who Wonka was before the Chocolate Factory. I can use my own imagination. I don't need a backstory.
Okay, but here, that brings up a very interesting point. Let's talk about that for a minute. So we were just talking about algorithms and how things are just fed constantly to us over and over and over again. And it gets to the point where we can't blink our eyes without seeing something else, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think all of that information overfeeding is slowly chipping people's ability to actually imagine a way. They can't think for themselves critically, much less have any sort of an imagination to come up with any other story, unless they have like the deep and dirty details. Like, well, okay, so Willy Wonka is a fictional character. A man by the name of Roald Dahl wrote those stories. They're fabulous stories.
Mm-hmm.
But Willy Wonka is not a real person. Willy Wonka does not have a backstory because he is not a real person and he has not dealt with life events. He is fiction.
See, exactly. It's like, it's fun to think about where, like, how he came to be, you know, Willy Wonka of this chocolate factory. It's fun to think about, especially when you're little, you kind of think about those things. Mm-hmm. But we're just getting to this point in time where, and I know, and I think we've always been this way because movies have been remade for years. Like, it's not just happening now. The problem is that that's all these companies, these production companies are pushing out anymore. There's barely any original content. And like, when does it stop? Like, we're not going to get excited all the time if that's all we're seeing. So I don't know. I roll my eyes at all of these like live action remakes, these prequels, these sequels. It depends. Like Inside Out 2, that makes sense to me. They're adding
because it's a continuation of the story.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm getting tired of it.
And in the case of the one that Lariah was talking about, the Mufasa one, it's like, for lack of a better term, and no pun intended, rather than beating a dead horse, we're beating a dead lion. Because they're re-spinning and re-spinning and re-spinning and re-spinning because Lion King was so successful. But the re-spinning is getting transparent. So it's just looking like a money grab. Yeah. Like, we don't really care about the quality of it. We're going to call it live action, even though, no, none of these animals are alive. They wouldn't cohabitate in nature the way that they sing and they dance in the movie. None of that. It would not happen. It's not live. Don't call it live action. Call it computer generated animation and leave it at that if you have to call it anything. Or maybe just don't do it.
I like the latter.
Yeah. Yeah. 100% agree. And I think your point about not calling it live action, like, okay, so the world is changing, animation styles are changing, technology is changing. Why is Disney not saying, hey, we're on the forefront of computer animation and this is a story we want to tell? Versus saying, we're going to live action The Lion King and CGI a lion. Why roll it out that way versus we are on the cutting edge of animation just like we've always been for 100 years?
That's just what I was going to bring up. They have been at the forefront of anything they've done in animation since Walt started.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Why not celebrate that? Why not be in the tradition of Walt Disney animation and all this fabulous success that we've had to this point? We've discovered this technology, or we've invented this technology. Come see the lion like you've never seen it before. But So, and rather than tap into a story that I love The Lion King, I really do, but we're getting dangerously close to having it overdone. Why not take another look at Walt's, like his nature world movies, like where he did the real life adventure movies. Why not do those in CGI? You wouldn't have to have the remote locations. You wouldn't have to send crews all over the world. Just animate the whole thing in computer animation. Do your research that you need to do. Computer animate it and let it go and have films that are actually teaching something. Like those real life adventures were made. And put some fun narration to it. But, I mean, stop. Just stop.
I do like that, though. And I think, Scott, I think you mentioned it in the beginning of this episode, too. Saying, why are we doing everything live action? Why aren't we taking some live action, like Pirates of the Caribbean, too? That would be fun animated. I would actually be excited to go see that movie animated and like maybe a little bit more kid friendly, you know? I think that would be kind of fun actually to see what they would come up with.
Yeah, I think that would be fun.
You know, they could actually do like an entire film series about the attractions in the parks and animate them and the stories of them.
I was gonna bring that up. How do you guys feel about them creating movies on the ride, how they did with like the Jungle Cruise and Haunted Mansion?
I think when they're well done, it's okay.
Okay, because I thought the Haunted Mansion was fabulous. I love that.
I was actually impressed with that. I was a little bit nervous about it, because like the Haunted Mansion is one of my very favorite things ever. And they need to be careful because it is such an iconic piece that it'd be really easy to overdo it and screw it up. But I think they did a really good job with the film. I also really enjoyed the Jungle Cruise film. And I love the pirate movies.
I just think they need to, like we all think, they need to take a step back from the Disney movies that have been coming or that have come out already, leave them alone and focus on something else, like the rides at the park. I can think of a plethora of attractions at the park that would be fabulous movies if, you know, they really couldn't think of something else.
Astro Orbiter?
Yeah. Gator Astro Orbiter.
I have a really low budget idea.
What? Yes.
Space Mountain. It would all be in the dark.
I'm actually surprised they haven't made a movie or somebody told a story from that yet.
That would be really hard to film without making a lot of people really motion sick, though.
There is a movie called Tomorrowland. I wonder if...
Yes, there is.
I've never seen it, though.
I have not either.
I wonder if any of the attractions in Tomorrowland are featured in that movie.
If I remember, and that came out, what seems like not all that long ago, but it's probably a handful of years now. But if I remember correctly, there was like some sort of a lapel pin situation with like a little logo on it of Tomorrowland. And it had Space Mountain on the logo. So I'm kind of thinking that there probably is some sort of involvement with that, but I don't know.
Okay. So yes, it does have some. It came out in 2015.
I know. I want to see. I know what I want to see.
What?
Okay. Can we hold on to that while we talk about the plot to Tomorrowland, or do you need to say it out loud now?
No, I'm okay.
Okay. So the plot of Tomorrowland: in 1964, a young boy named Frank Walker attends the 1964 New York World's Fair to sell his prototype jetpack, but is rejected as it does not work. Frank is approached by a young girl, Athena, who hands him an orange lapel pin with a blue T embossed on it, telling him to follow her onto Walt Disney's It's a Small World attraction at the fair's Pepsi-Cola Pavilion. Frank obeys and sneaks onto the ride, where the pin is scanned by a laser, and he is transported to Tomorrowland, a futuristic cityscape where advanced robots fix his jetpack, allowing him to fly and join the secretive world. It's a long, long synopsis, but that's the first paragraph. And it just kind of goes from there. So it looks like it's Disney adjacent, and it has George Clooney.
Sort of like, sort of like Walt Before Mickey.
Kind of, yeah. I think the only attraction to it is by name, and that they get to this world with the robots, this Tomorrowland on It's a Small World.
Okay.
Huh. Okay.
And it was a Walt Disney Pictures movie.
Huh. I remember seeing the trailers for that and thought it looked rather interesting.
Tim McGraw is in it.
Ooh.
Okay. So, Candace, let's go back to what you wanted to say, what you wanted to see.
I have an idea for a 4-movie series. I want to see the full stories of the families in the different eras of Carousel of Progress.
Oh. Yes.
Yes. Bro. Are they all related?
Like a
balance. They're all supposed to be the same family.
But John stays the same age. So maybe it's John the first, John the second, John the third, John the third, fourth.
John the fourth. Mm-hmm.
But you don't know they're the same family until the last one.
Well, I think you figure it out in the second one because dude looks the same.
Damn it.
Yeah.
I love that. Have a idea. Scene, yes. Where Sarah is down in her rumpus room.
Yes. Stirring paint with the KitchenAid.
Yes. I love that idea. Like that's one where the backstories would be a lot of fun. Like life in those times. Mm-hmm. Like it could be, you could either do it 4 movies or do it like one of those movies where they kind of go back and forth between the eras.
Those get confusing. I don't like that.
But again, I think what we're saying is even that there's not a lot of story there to deal with. Somebody's no, but
that's where the imagination
take,
comes in.
Right. Exactly. That's what we're saying is somebody needs to tell a new story.
Right.
We are so hung up on stories that we, and that goes back to what we were saying before too, with the Lin-Manuel Miranda stuff. We see so much of the same story over and over and over again that it just gets old because somebody out there is wanting to print money. Mm-hmm. Somebody needs to come out and tell a new story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I think Disney will get back to what Disney was meant to be. But I think history is going to tell us a lot, because even if we look back at the movies of the last 5 years, we look back on a lot of those with fondness, that I would say there was not a single movie in the last 5 years that I've been looking forward to. But I look back at the movies that I've now seen with a lot of fondness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the same is going to hold true, maybe even of Wish. Like over time, we're going to look back at that and be like, oh, that's good. But that doesn't change the fact that I still think they need to tell new stories.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I know we did an episode last season where we were talking about the volume of movies that they're pushing out at this point. And that's a combination across their entire wheelhouse of Marvel, Star Wars, all of it. And I really, really, really think they need to get their focus back on the quality and not the mm-hmm. quantity so much. And I think, like, if we were, I understand running the Disney company takes a lot of money. I understand mm-hmm. that. But I mean, what would happen if we had to wait for 2, 3, 4 years? For some really, really good animated story in the tradition of the ones that didn't just appear magically.
Well, that is, so I talk a lot about how I don't really like Tangled as much as The Princess and the Frog, because I think it overlapped it. And I mm-hmm. think that was one instance where those movies came out so close together. So it ruined one. And I would have really liked Tangled if I just have such a strong opinion over it because it got overlapped, or
it overshadowed
Princess and the Frog, which came out before it. And that's one reason why I like vote pro for waiting longer for a good quality movie, so that they don't overlap. And so we get a nice experience with each one that comes out instead of having to rush through them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're saying, Lariah, if I'm understanding you correctly, you're saying that Tangled is your Frozen.
I am. Which sucks because I love Mandy Moore. I love her. And I hate to not like that movie because it is a, I feel like it is a good quality movie. It's just, it got overhyped for the wrong reason. I think the wrong movie got overhyped. Mm-hmm. And it stresses me out.
I wonder.
And also, I think because, I'm sorry to interrupt, Lacey, but I think also because Mandy Moore was like a TV star and a singing star and all that other stuff, I think the music from Tangled got pushed to mainstream radio.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I will argue that movie from Princess and the Frog is far superior.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But because the voice talent for Princess and the Frog, it was not that well known. It didn't get the same sort of exposure, and therefore you're not getting the same sort of gravitational pull toward that movie. Even mm-hmm. though I agree with you, Princess and the Frog is a better movie. I like them both, but Princess and the Frog is a better movie. Better music, better everything.
I also wonder if because Princess and the Frog was the last hand-drawn animated movie, and then the next princess movie, the first princess movie to come out computer animated, was Tangled, is another reason why it kind of got overhyped and people gravitated more towards that. Because even I can say as a child, I would gravitate towards those computer animated shows. Like, it's new, it's unique, and you know, all the princess movies before Tangled were hand-drawn, and this was the first one computer animated, and they were able to do like different things with it. So I wonder if that had a reason as to why as well.
That's weird that you say that, because I definitely at the time when those movies came out, I did not know that. And maybe you told me recently, but I completely forgot. But I always had this strange feeling that there was something off with Tangled, and I couldn't put my finger on it, but I'm like, this is different and I don't like it. I'm not used to it. Something's off here. And I think that's the reason why they changed it up, so it didn't look Disney to me.
Yeah, because I think that was the first Disney animated movie to have that computer animated animation instead of the hand-drawn. Because Princess and the Frog, yeah.
Complete, because like there are cells in like Beauty and the Beast that are computer generated, but it's not completely computer animation.
And Princess and the Frog, it kind of like, if you go back and watch that compared to, I'm trying to think of a princess movie that came out before Princess and the Frog.
Mulan.
Okay, perfect. You compare those two hand-drawn animations. Princess and the Frog is kind of on the cusp. It's kind of, you know, it's starting to look a little bit more like computer animation, softer lines, all of that. But I'm a nerd, and I look at that kind of stuff with movies and everything. So I just find it interesting. I thought when I first saw Princess and the Frog, the animation was so unique. But that's why I gravitated towards it. I thought it was so cool.
Well, and you think about that, to your point, Lacey, you think about that and you look at the movies like Mulan and Hercules and Hunchback of Notre Dame and Pocahontas and everything that came out sort of in that quote unquote golden age of Disney, where you can consistently see through the characters and all of the movies that they have square fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at Princess and the Frog, and people's hands look like people's hands are supposed to look.
Yes.
So there, like the detail and the I don't know what I'm trying to say, but like just the enhancements and paying mm-hmm. attention to that kind of thing and fixing it so it looks correct
and softer almost too.
Yes,
it's just very harsh lines and yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then you take it back all the way to like Sleeping Beauty where the trees are square.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that was a design choice then. But there again, you've got the harsh lines and the all the things. But I mean, that's Mary Blair art. So I'm not going to mm-hmm. take anything away from that. And that's one of my favorite movies of all time. So,
yes.
Okay. This was a good conversation. This ended up being a really fun conversation. Thanks, ladies. This was awesome. Anything else that we want to talk about before we sign off for this one and let our listeners get on with their day?
I'm good.
Okay. Thanks everybody for listening. We appreciate you. Remember to go out and find us on our socials, interact with us. We want to hear from you. As always, we want to engage with you and have some fun with you as part of our crew. So let us know what you think. And remember, there is a great big beautiful tomorrow.
And we'll see you real soon.